Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 13 through 23, and we're going to expound these verses, but allow me first to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this evening. And Lord, we're asking now by faith, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Our Own Heart is Deceitful. Our own heart is deceitful. As we further go into chapter 7, last week, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they were leading the people astray. They were downtrodden and downcasting the common people. They thought they were so above them. And because they didn't keep the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, that these people were basically illiterate and lost. But that's not how Jesus perceived the common folks of the day. Neither, he doesn't perceive us that way any different. Can I get an amen? We weren't Bible scholars when he found us. Matter of fact, we were biblically illiterate. Can I get an amen? But when God found us, he raised us up, he cleansed us, he gave us a new mind. And that mind now is the mind of Christ that's in us, the hope of glory. But we're going to look in these verses of Scripture on how Jesus went further. Last week, he pointed out their error, but now he's going to go, it's like reading a mystery novel. Okay, so now you want to find the culprit. You want to find why these things are so. So Jesus had to take it further. He had to show us why these religious leaders were the way they were and how very sinful they were. But what he reveals also reveals to us that we too have that type of nature. So let's read these verses here. Let's start with verse 13. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. This is picking up from last week. On he's talking directly to the Pharisees, the lawgivers, the scribes, the Sadducees. Okay, these are the people that knew better, yet they were deceiving the people for their own gain's sake. Verse 14, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. I want you to catch this tonight. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Now he's getting down to the nitty-gritty. Jesus is now saying, okay, let me take you a little step further. Verse 16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. This is why when I open up in prayer, all my sermons, I'm asking God to give us ears to hear and eyes to see. What? So that we can hear from the Spirit of God. Not from a man that's teaching, but the Spirit. Can I get amen? And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? He's now talking to his disciples. You mean you don't get this yet? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all things, or all foods. Now look at this. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now he's getting to the nitty-gritty. This is what's inside of our heart. It comes naturally. Naturally. What? Yeah, naturally. Oh, my gosh. These are things that don't have to be taught. These things come right out of the heart. And we're going to see why it does. From within, out of the heart of men, this is Jesus now. Your Bible's red writing, right? Okay, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and also to the disciples. He said, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. What? We're trying to eliminate that late-term murderers that we heard last night, huh? Murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. What? For those religious teachers back then, they were probably going, how dare you? Jesus was just putting them in check. He was putting them on notice. Look at this. We need to go back now and look at verse 13. Let's go here. Now let's break it all down. We're going to break down verses 13 through 23 tonight. Making the word of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So these religious folks, they just passed it down to one another. Now, you remember what was passed down to us, most of us. We were baptized as an infant. We were told that you're a good person now. We used to go out there and party and do all kinds of things, huh? And yet, oh, I'm okay. No, we weren't okay. Saints, remember last week he talked about the word Corban? It was like a vow that they would make. This is why I told everyone last week, man, don't watch what you say. You know how some people say, are you sure? Are you telling me the truth? Say, swear to God. Remember how you used to do that back in the day? Swear to God. Man, don't ever do that. Jesus called it Corban or Corbin. Now you're blaspheming God by swearing like that. And so, the Corban vow effectively put tradition above God's word. To be able to exempt oneself from of God's commandments by taking a human vow meant that the Pharisees had attempted to break the law of God. And they broke the law of God all day long, but they wanted the common people to be belittled. They wanted to turn it around and say, you guys are breaking the law. We're keeping the law. That's how they were, but yet inside they were corrupt. Jesus added that the Pharisees did many, many things like that. This was only one example of the premeditated selfishness of these religious leaders who set themselves above all people and in effect destroyed the laws that they took so much of pride in keeping them. So they were trying to keep every law, and yet inside there was no mercy, there was no grace, there was no love for the people. They just want to dog them and put them on blast. So Jesus comes along and puts them on blast. Wow. And so I want you to look at this scripture right up here in Galatians, because Paul got revelation from the Lord. Remember when Paul the apostle was persecuting the church, and then Jesus came and knocked him off his beast and says, Paul, why are you, well, actually Saul, why are you persecuting the church? So he had a zeal of doing something very strong. He had a conviction on his way of handling the law of God, but he had no grace, no mercy, he had no insight. He didn't know who God was. So Jesus had to knock him off his beast, blind him, and then he humbled himself and he repented and he cried out to the Lord. That's when God gave him the revelation of the word of God and who Jesus was. This is why Paul went on a mission. He went to all the countries in that region. What did he do there? To spread the gospel. And as he was going, God kept giving him revelation after revelation. So in Galatia, he wrote this, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." You see, this is not according to man. "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." You and I, we are here today because the revelation came to us from Jesus himself. Aren't you so blessed to know that? It didn't come from no teacher. It didn't come from no church. We became born again because of Christ. And we are alive now because of Christ. So we didn't receive this wonderful word of God, the whole Bible, from man. I don't care what version you're reading. The revelation came from Jesus Christ. "For you have heard of my former conduct," meaning he's telling everyone, "You know how I used to be. I used to roll that way. I used to burn them at the stake. I used to do drive-bys. I used to round them up and throw them to the lions." Look what he says, "how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." Paul sharing his testimony on how God transformed his life. Look at this. "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of the contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." So he's saying to us, by writing this, he was no different at that time than these religious leaders that Jesus is rebuking as we read Mark chapter 7. Because he was one of them. Paul was one of them. Look at this. Verse 15, "But it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." Saints of God, you have to get this in your spirit tonight. You and I, God separated us in his mind already. He knew the day we would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't know that. But he separated us. Look how many people that don't even have a desire for the word of God. They're not here or any other church. But we've been separated. Why? Because it's his mighty plan in our life. Look at that. "Separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." For what? So we can just run around? No. To reveal his son in me. Jesus has revealed in us. Hallelujah. Through his spirit, through his word. Look at this. "That I might preach him among the Gentiles." Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? He separated us for a purpose. That we would preach, hallelujah, the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, saints, Jesus clarified to these hypocritical religious leaders that God's law, not oral tradition, should be the true authority over the people's lives. Look how Jesus explained this further in Matthew. Look what he wrote. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it is. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is where Jesus had an issue with the Pharisees. Because all 614 laws, they were trying to keep on their own strength, and they couldn't. But yet they wanted people to know, "We keep the law, we do this and we do that." But they were missing these two right here. They didn't love God. And they didn't love others like themselves. So Jesus flipped the script. He says, out of all the commandments, it says, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law." First of all, we have to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And once you get to a place of your heart is sold out to Christ because you love him, not because you have to love him, because you want to love him, to know what he's done for us, then we can learn to love others like we love ourselves. I'm sure before you left, you looked at yourself before you left, right? Made sure you brushed, you did this, whatever. For some of you, you still brushed your hair and combed your hair. But you made sure when you left. Why? Because God gave you to love yourself and to keep yourself. And so the way we love ourselves, God is saying right here, we need to learn to love others no differently. Can I get amen? Look at what James says right here. But he gives more grace. Therefore, says God, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Jesus had an issue with these religious leaders. Why? They didn't show no one grace. They didn't show no one mercy. He had a problem with them. Look how Solomon, who had all the wisdom in the world, wrote this in the Old Testament. Look what he wrote here. He wrote this: the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Why is your home blessed? Because we've been justified by his grace. Can I get amen? Our homes are blessed because of him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the legacy of fools. Please don't call no one a fool. Amen. If God calls someone a fool, guess where they're headed? Destruction. But God has given us grace and mercy. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Amen. So let's go back to Mark chapter 7, verse 14, and it reads, and when he called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. So now he's getting all their attention. He's getting all their attention, and he wants them now to hear. Hear what I'm about to say. He says, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. You know what defile actually means? It means corrupt. Being corrupted. You ever had a hard drive issue with your computer and the technician says, okay, your files are all corrupted. That means it's destroyed. It means it's useless. It means you have to wipe it out and restart again. And you got to just destroy everything on it or throw it away and buy a new one. Well, that's what defilement means. It means being corrupted. It said, there is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. So Jesus took it further. He wanted these religious folks to start now pondering, why are you like this? Why? He's going to let them know it comes all naturally by itself. You don't have to be taught. This is why we have to teach our kids mannerism. If you didn't teach your kids how to be courteous, how to have mannerism, teach them and train them up, they're going to grow up to be what? Lawless. Why? Because of the nature. So, saints, Jesus addressed the crowd and the disciples regarding the true nature of defilement. The people had listened to Jesus, his stinging accusation of the religious leaders. Man, they were going, wow, he's rebuking them big time. Some of them are probably under their breath, man, you go, Jesus, blast them, because they've been blasting us all of our life. Here Jesus called the crowd to what? Listen. And try to understand, for he would make his final point and have the final say in this debate. The Pharisees forgot what King David wrote in the Psalms. They knew, remember, they were the lawgivers, they knew the law. They forgot. They were beating up the common people, but they forgot what David said, what was wrong with each and every one of them. It says it right up here. King David wrote this in Psalms 51. Look at this. This is when David sinned and God gave him a revelation. He fell on his face before God because he didn't want God to destroy him. He didn't want God to take away the kingdom that God had given him. So look what he says. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In other words, he was conceived already in sin. Look at this. Shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What? He's trying to let them know, this is why you guys are like this. Because it comes from within already. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inwards part, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He goes on to say, purge me with hyssop, and thou shalt be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Then King David says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Wow. This is what Jesus did for you and I at the cross. When he called you and I, he called us to the cross. And by faith, he blotted out our iniquities. Come on, a lot of us were blasphemers. Come on, a lot of us, we used to party till the wee hours of the day. Some of us didn't go to sleep. You remember, we was up partying all night, man, causing a ruckus. And when we came to Christ, he blotted out all of our iniquities. He gave us a new start, a new life, a new heart. And here's the miracle. He let us see who we really were. Because we didn't see it. We thought that's how we roll. He showed us how ridiculous we are because of our sinful nature. Sometimes it has to be illuminated to see. Only God can show us. And what I saw last night, people like this, couldn't get up. Couldn't get up and applaud that we want to save life, not kill it. That lets you know what was inside their heart. It was murder. We just read what's inside of a man's heart, Jesus said. Murder and deceit. My, my, my. The Pharisees thought that to eat with defiled hands meant to be defiled. They were looking at the exterior. Jesus explained that the Pharisees were wrong in thinking that they were acceptable to God just because they were clean on the outside, meaning they had the pompous robes on. They had the they look all, you know, decked out, and their hands were clean, and their sandals were clean. He explained that the defilement is not an external matter, keeping food laws and washing ceremoniously, keeping Sabbaths, but it's an internal issue. Internal issue. Wow. This is what I love about Jesus. Because you know what he does with us? He shows us truth, and then, because we're born of him, we learn to lay aside those things that doesn't please him. It's not done overnight. He doesn't, it's not by, oh, I'm going to wave a wand and now you're going to obey. No, it's going through trials of life. It's going through bumping our head on the wall sometimes. It's going through sicknesses and heartaches and setbacks in life, where we can start learning to grasp the grace of God and the mercy of God, that he didn't destroy us, but he was with us the whole time. Then we would glorify him and magnify him and praise him. And so, going back now to Mark, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. I prayed before I came tonight that as we taught this study, that God would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. That God would speak to us, that he would show us more of his mercy and his grace and his love toward us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Look at this. Verse 17, when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, Are you thus without understanding also? I mean, are you walking around like the Pharisees that are doopty-doos? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? So saying in private, the disciples asked him what this meant. They pulled him aside. Hey, Master, Rabbi, we're baffled here. And you know what? Jesus took the time out to teach them. Can I get an amen? He didn't rebuke his disciples. Let me share with you. So Jesus explained that what goes into a person cannot defile that person. Thus, to eat foods with hands that may have touched a defiled person or an article that did not mean that a person was ingesting. Logically, as Jesus explained, listen to this, saints. Food goes into the mouth and passes through the stomach, and then it goes out. It has no effect whatever on the moral condition of the heart. Sin in a person's heart is what defiles him. Jesus had to break it down. He had to let them know, man, it's not the exterior. It's what's on the inside. It's what goes on the inside. What's happening on the inside? And this is why God gave us consciousness. He gave us a mind. And when he gave us the Holy Spirit, then those things that do develop in the heart, he'll bring a forefront to us so that we can learn to obey him. We can learn to deny ourselves with those things that will corrupt us, because they come automatically. And so, Jesus, he said in verse 14 and 15, look at this. He said it right here. Let's go back. When he had called the multitude to himself, he says, here, everyone understand, there is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. So, saints, these Roman Christians who he wrote to Galatia, he wrote to the Corinthian church, Paul did. Why? Because Jesus taught him everything that he needed to know. And God is teaching us tonight. Amen? The primary audience of Mark's gospel may have been confused about the Jewish food and laws, whether they had to follow them. So they were thinking it was about food, it was about exterior. And then the religious leaders took it further. They wouldn't let a Gentile into their home. You know why? Because they looked at us, because we're Gentiles, we're not Jews. They looked at the Gentiles like dogs. Second, third class people. Wow. Jesus had an issue with that. You know why? Because Jesus sat with the tax collectors. He sat with the sinners. You know what he was showing them? Mercy. Mercy. And so, these words he showed them, every kind of food is acceptable, clarified this issue from them, as we can see in the book of Acts. Remember when Peter, he went out on top of the roof, and God gave him a vision? It was twofold. It was food, but yet it was also what God called clean. Let me just say this. You and I, we don't have to be billionaires. We don't have to be seated in political high places. We don't even have to live in Rancho Santa Fe. But when Jesus cleaned us up, we have now the royal blood of heaven flowing through our veins. You and I, in God's eyes, we are way above those who have never received Christ, but yet we walk humbly. We walk with grace and mercy. But God has elevated to sit in heavenly places. God sees us as royalty. God sees us as adopted sons and daughters. The world don't see that. And we don't have to boast about it. We don't have to brag about it. We walk humbly, say, God, thank you for saving me. Because as soon as this body expires, I'm going to be with you. In a brand new body. There's nothing to boast about, but all to be thankful for. Can I get an amen? Thankful, thankful, thankful. But look what God showed Peter on this. Look at this. In Acts 10, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, meaning it was like a, when you do a little deeper study on when he fell into a trance, it was like an open vision. God gave him a vision right there. Look at this. And he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down on the earth. It was like a big screen coming down. Like a giant movie screen came down from heaven. And he was like, what? Look at this. And saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down on the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Look at this. And a voice came to him, says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten any common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done and three times and the object was taken up again into heaven. What was that all about? What was that all about? God gave them not only on the foods, because they were told not to eat certain foods, but he also prepared him to go into the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. You go in that house and preach the gospel because what I have called clean, you cannot call unclean. Hallelujah. So you and I, we walk around with God's royalty. Know that you are a child of the Most High God. God has cleansed us. He has washed us. We're no longer just common folks on this earth. No, we are sons and daughters and ambassadors of Christ. Can I get an amen? You are precious to the Lord. We serve an awesome God, a mighty God. How many love the Lord tonight? Come on, we love God. So we're going to break down the last three scriptures in Mark chapter 7. And it goes on. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men proceed. We looked at this, huh? As we read, now we're going to look a little further here. Jesus says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. This is why God had to come and save us from ourselves. Can I get amen? Listen, if he didn't come, some of us would have died alcoholics. Some of us would have died overdosing drugs. Some of us were probably in and out of bedrooms, and we would have caught something, and then boom, gone. Some of us were really, some of us grew up violent. We were into gangs and stuff. I know I was. He had to come and save me from myself. Why? Because inside was defiling me. Inside of you was defiling you. This is why Jesus said, I have come to save that which is lost. We were lost. He came to save us. He came to save us from these things. Because these things come out of us automatically. I'm just going to hit on this and then I'm going to bounce right off it. But last night, let's go back to that speech. All these late-term abortions and all these abortions that are taking place. I'll tell you, you see the little red pointer? Can you see the pointer? Right there, that word. This is the reason why there are so many abortions. Right there. What does fornication mean? Having sex without marriage. In and out of bedrooms. Shacking it and packing it. They won't come to be holy matrimony anymore. So this right here that Jesus talked about, right there, is the reason why there's 63 million babies aborted. Why? Because there's no law that says you cannot sleep with anyone. But God's law calls it a sin. Come on, you're not going to hear this anywhere else probably. I'm just telling it like it is. This is what Jesus said comes out of a heart. So the fix to all this is to get right at the cross. Can I get amen? Get right with God. You got to get right with God. Because if a person continues to live like this, they go straight to hell. You can't even stop. You remember Monopoly? Stop here and collect $200 and then get out of jail? Bam, that's a straight trip into the abyss where there's torment 24/7. And so Jesus had the fix for all this. But the Pharisees, they were basically pouring out their religious laws on the common people, and yet these religious leaders were walking around laden with sin like this. So that speech last night, all those people sitting down on these late term, we're not gonna agree with that. A woman has a right. That's because they've been sold by Satan that fornication is okay. So we're going to go sleep around, we're going to go get you pregnant, and then we're going to terminate the baby. This is why. Paul, man, I'm telling you, Jeremiah had the answer to this. This is the condition of this nation right now. Is this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Wow. Jesus said it and taught Paul this. The Holy Spirit taught Paul the apostle this in Romans. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the remedy. A man and woman can be healed, can be saved if they humble themselves and fall on the cross before the cross falls on them. Fall on the cross. Surrender. I know this is a tough word tonight, but you know what? Jesus got tough with these religious people. Man. You see, saints, in the book of Romans, Paul explained how this happens. Unless the Holy Spirit controls our sinful nature, outbursts of the flesh will be prevalent. Evil thoughts begin within a person's heart. Look how it's spelled out. We're coming in for a landing now. Hang on to your seatbelts. Look what he wrote in Romans. Look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according, let's go back. Look at this. According to what? Right there. I'm circling it. The Spirit. You see, without being born again and having the Spirit of God, We can't walk like this because we don't have God's mind. We don't have his spirit. Paul addressed this. And this is why Jesus had to rebuke the Pharisees, because they didn't understand this. Look at this. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation. You and I here tonight that's been born of God, that has surrendered the lifestyle of sinfulness, who God is doing a new thing in our life, the devil cannot condemn us no more. You see that? There is therefore now no condemnation. In other words, Satan cannot blackmail us. He can't go to God and say, well, wait a minute. No. Because there's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ. Look at this. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, the law pointed us to the cross. The law pointed out all of our failure. So God had to show us our error of our way and point us to the cross. This is why the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you and I free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. God erased all the sin, and we don't have to die eternally no more. Wow. Look at this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That's why these Pharisees, man, you can't do this, you can't do that, but yet themselves couldn't keep it. Why? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own son. Jesus had to come in the likeness of sinful flesh. He looked like one of us, but there was no sin in him. On account of sin, look at that. He condemned sin in the flesh. He goes, man, I condemn that sin that's in your flesh. Wow. When you get a hold of this, you can walk and know that you've been liberated. We're not under a bondage no more. We're in freedom with Christ. Look at this. He goes on to say that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The unbeliever has no clue about this. This is all mumble jumble to someone that don't know God. An unbeliever, I don't get this. They just won't flee. But to us, this is liberty. This is freedom. Knowing what God has done for us. But look at this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Notice capital S, that means Holy Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the carnal mind, meaning someone that hasn't been born again, it's at war with God. They hate God. They may not say, oh, I hate God, but in them, they don't want to do nothing with God. They won't obey God. They'll listen to a message, but they'll still live in sin. Man. That's where it's dangerous for that person who hears truth and doesn't do the truth. Look at this. But those who live according to the Spirit are the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind wars, meaning it wars against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. In other words, an unsaved person could never get right with God in their flesh. It has to be a repentant heart surrendering so that God's grace now will fall on them. Look at this. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Everything I'm saying is backed up by the word. Can I get an amen? But look what Paul wrote about you and I. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because we've been born again. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, but look what he says about the unbeliever. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Wow. That's my license plate. When you go see my license plate outside, it says Romans 8 and 9. That's it. Romans 8 and 9. People ask me, what does that scripture mean? I tell them. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So there's a lot of folks, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, yeah, you know, I go to church every now and then. Yeah, yeah, I believe. They've never been born again. Look at this. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness, God's righteousness. Look at this, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Meaning, hallelujah, when Jesus comes back again, we're going to have bodies just like him. Why? Because the spirit of God that raised up Jesus is the same spirit that lives in us. Wow. I'm glad you guys came out to the Bible study tonight. For a moment, I thought it was just going to be me and Sister Anna only. And then all you precious people came. Because God wants to teach us something tonight, amen? That we can walk out of here with confidence. We don't have to walk out of here with our head hung. Yeah, I saw all that last night. No. You know what? We have victory through Christ. So as I come in for a close, saints, while most people work hard to keep their outward appearance, their outward attractiveness, what is in their hearts is even more important. Can I get an amen? When people become Christians, God makes them different on the inside. It's an inside job. I like to call it, it's an inside job. Jesus listed a catalog of 12 evil thoughts that begin in the heart. 6 are evil individual actions. 6 are evil attitudes or principles. Notice, though, that the evil attitudes, whether acted upon or not, are all still considered sin. This is why when I wake up in the morning, I say, oh, God, cleanse me and wash me this day. And then when I go to bed, oh, God, forgive me for this day. Always stay in a repentant heart toward him. Can I get amen? Because these things come naturally, even having the Spirit of God. Because we still live in this body of flesh. But he's given us power to overcome. Look at this. Number 1, sexual immorality. Various kinds of extramarital sexual activity. We talked about that, huh? People shacking and packing with one another. Won't come to the marriage. They won't come to the altar to get right with God. So they fornicate. They live. They go in bedrooms out the other. They don't care who their partner is. They just want to gratify themselves and please themselves. Number 2, theft. Taking something that belongs to another. These are things that will come automatically without even thinking about them. This is why the Holy Ghost that's in us shows it to us. I'm not going there. Mm-mm. Thank you, Jesus. I can choose now not to. Can I get amen? We can choose not to. Before, man, what's in that for me, man? What's up? Come on. That's how we rolled back then, didn't we? Look at this one. Murder. Taking the God-given life of another person. I'm going to do a message on a Sunday morning regarding these babies being aborted like that. Amen. Look at this. Adultery, a married person having sex with someone other than his or her spouse. And Jesus said, if you even looked on a woman and having sex in your mind, that's an adultery situation right there. Wow, man. It's like we're cornered. God, you have cornered us. It's like we are checkmate. This is why we need him. This is why we need him. Look at this. Greed, relentless urge to get more of oneself. I need more and more and more. Remember back in the day when, man, we would get loaded? We want to just get higher. Staying there wasn't enough. I want to go higher. Because it's in us. Wickedness, doing evil despite the good that has been received, meaning having a malice heart. Wicked things. People devise wickedness. That study I'm going to bring soon, the devices and the tools they used to terminate that little baby. It's wickedness. They came up with these instruments, how to poke the heart, how to poke the brain. And then at 9 months, and the woman comes back 2 days later because they let it die in the womb. That's wickedness before God's eyes. And he's going to bring a harsh judgment. Deceit, to trick or mislead by lying. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. Immoral behavior that is restrained nor concealed. Man, I'm just going to go get my way. He don't, she don't, he don't, she don't have to know nothing. Envy, desire for something possessed by another. I shared it before. You heard me say this before. If your neighbor is building a big old pool, you don't need to go soak yourself in $60,000. Just go be their friend and go use it. Bring a pie. Hey, hi, here's a pie. Slander, to destroy another good reputation. Watch out for folks. I've learned this. When someone comes up to me, well, you know what, he said, she's, you know, I have to put them in their tracks. And I don't rebuke them. You know how I flip it? Let's pray for them. Come on, let's just pray. Now, you know what? Let's just pray that God would strengthen them, you know, and God will heal your heart. Because you get caught up, and that person don't even know you're talking about them. Pride, making claims of superior intelligence or important. All this Jesus said to the Pharisees is what comes out of your heart. Man. Last one. Foolishness. Inability to discern between immorality and morality. All these vile things begin in a person's heart, saints. It is those evil actions and attitudes that cause defilement. Many of the words Jesus used could have described the Pharisees. Let us get past any kind of religious connotation, saints. God doesn't want us to be religious. He wants us to have a true relationship with Him. Because when we learn to relate with Him and learn to love Him, guess what? It becomes that much easier to love one another because we have learned to love Him. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Mark chapter 7. We thank you for the words of Christ. We thank you, God, that He could have left each and every one of us out in the world and we could have been destroyed by now. But God, you had mercy on each and every one of us. You came to rescue us. You came to save us from ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves even if we had Bill Gates' money. Salvation cannot be bought by human hands. It has to be an act of grace and mercy that comes from heaven. And you brought this to this world, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and grace, and thank you for your mercy. I'm praying for whoever's listening to this message, here and abroad, Lord, that you would have much grace and much mercy. Lord, that we would always take retrospect. And we would always have self-inventory of our own heart, that we would be careful on how we entreat one another and think about one another, knowing that you've had so much mercy on us. Let us love like you, God. And so, Father, I'm praying for maybe someone that's listening that hasn't come to that place, that has truly surrendered. I'm praying, Lord, that you would give that person a mind to be saved and a heart to repent, that they would humbly yet boldly come to the throne room of grace, and that you would do the miraculous thing in their heart like you've done for us by faith. And if that's you, pray a simple prayer of repentance. God says if we repent of our sins and confess them to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that mercy and grace upon us. So if you're here or listening, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for destroying the sins in my life. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Have grace. Come into my heart. Make me a new person, God. Help me walk worthy of the call. And Lord, when it's all said and done, that we would give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Help me to follow you and to honor you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give them praise and glory.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.